Democrats Are the Threat to Democracy by Rick Turnquist. When Democrats lose, they have a habit of escalating by demanding to change the rules, end the filibuster, override voting laws in 50 states, abolish the Electoral College, restructure the Supreme Court, and grant D.C. statehood to add two new safe Democratic seats. Don't bet that a President Harris in a Democratic Congress wouldn't do it. Editorial in the Wall Street Journal, August 21st, 2024. It's kind of adorable how leftists use words like science and democracy as invocations for what they think is right without the slightest understanding of what those words really mean. A true democracy, as practiced in ancient Greece, is where every citizen votes on important matters, and whatever the citizens decide is what happens. Quite simply, a democracy is where a majority can decide whatever they want based on a simple vote. Our system of government is not, thank God in the Founding Fathers, a true democracy, but is a constitutional republic, wherein we elect representatives to act as our agents in the local, state, and national governments. We citizens get to vote for our representatives, and they vote according to their values, external pressures, financial incentives, etc. What the left pretends to hold sacred above all else is the will of the people, as expressed by elections, where Democrats are elected, and submissive, activist courts. When people who don't agree with them, i.e. Republicans, are elected or courts adhere to the law and the Constitution, they whine about threats to democracy. But the true threat to democracy, in the sense that democracy expresses the will of the people, is the Democratic Party itself. A soft coup. As of America's 248th birthday, Joe the Big Guy Biden, D, was the President of the United States and the duly elected, by Democratic primary voters, presumptive nominee of the Democrat Party for the 2024 presidential election. Presiding over a disastrous administration with approval ratings in the basement, Joe, bless his heart, had just lost, badly, a debate that he initiated against his opponent, Donald Trump, who then almost was assassinated. Amazing how that story has dropped from the headlines. Joe was behind Donald in many national polls, including swing state polls. Democrats were starting to panic. Joe Biden, D, repeatedly pledged to stay in the race, believing or being told that he was the best chance to defeat Donald Trump and save democracy. Why did Democrats panic? Why should they fear the will of the people? If the voters choose Donald Trump over Joe Biden, D, why then that is democracy in action? While they may lament their loss, there is always another election coming up in 4 years. But that is now how Democrats think. While they give lip service to the will of the people, their true goal, their lodestone, is power. As much power as they can grab and maintain control of. Power to control the government, the economy, your family, and your life. After days of mounting pressure, while he was in seclusion due to illness, Joe Biden allegedly wrote a one-page letter stating that he was dropping out of the race. This letter was then posted on X, and that was it. No public appearance still for several days. No press conference. No letter addressed to the Speaker of the House. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but this is the shakiest set of facts I've seen in a while. Interestingly, I am unable to find the actual letter on Google now. Wikipedia defines a coup d'etat as way typically an illegal and overt attempt by a military organization or other government elites to unseat an incumbent leader. A soft coup is defined as an illegal overthrow of a government, but without the use of force or violence. What happened on July 21, 2024 was the very definition of a soft coup, the first coup d'etat in American history. While there had been talk of an open convention where Vice President Kamala Harris, D, would have had to compete for the nomination and, you know, actually get people to vote for her, the Democrats, like the collective they truly are, closed ranks behind her and declared her to be the nominee. So in conclusion, a woman who flamed out of the Democratic primary in 2020, spent 3.5 years failing in every way as vice president, an overt diversity hire to begin with, is now the Democratic nominee for president, despite not having received one vote. If this isn't anti-democratic, nothing is. Democracy in action. Getting back to the definition of true democracy, which is when all citizens vote on important matters, it's important to note that we have a great example of this kind of democracy right here in Colorado with the Taxpayers Bill of Rights, TABOR. Passed by the voters in 1992, of whom I was one, TABOR requires a vote of the people to allow any government in Colorado to raise taxes or impose new taxes. From day one, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, PBIs, have hated TABOR with the passion of a thousand suns and have done everything they could to chip away at it. They think they know better how much of your money you should be required to give to the government by force, and they resent having to ask your permission to take more or keep what they have already taken. TABOR is democracy in action, and the Democrats hate it. In fact, they've demonstrated real ingenuity in thinking of ways to circumvent TABOR, as in calling a tax a fee, calling government programs enterprises, and finally creating a family and medical leave program by calling the taxes required to fund it premiums. The voters in 2020 passed Proposition 117 by 53% of the vote, which requires voter approval for enterprises and fees. Yet the Democrats still show by their legislative actions that they have no respect for the will of the people. In 2018, a veritable who's who of lefty nonprofits, lefty-owned businesses, and radical progressive elected officials supported a ballot initiative titled Proposition 112, Minimum Distance Requirements for New Oil, Gas, and Fracking Projects Initiative, which would effectively have crippled the oil and gas industry in Colorado. The voters, many of whom recognize and support the life-giving products that the oil and gas industry bring to market, wisely defeated this measure by 55% to 45%. This vote of the people was another example of true democracy. Never mind, said the Colorado Democrats when they introduced and passed Senate Bill 1981 the following year, imposing even harsher restrictions on the oil and gas industry. More examples, to quote Independence Institute John Caldara, voters rejected Prop CC in 2019 to keep their TABOR refunds, so the legislature just passed fee after fee to steal most of their refunds anyway. Alas, Trump is a threat to democracy. Voters rejected Proposition HH to again keep their TABOR refunds, so the legislature passed HH on their own. Going further, Caldara notes that in speaking about House Bill 1311, one Democrat said the quiet part out loud. Reporter Bob Marshall, D, quietly explained how all the tricks are done when he said of this bill, "To me, it shows somewhat of a deep contempt for the voters because of TABOR, of what they put in place in 92. And we're trying to find a way around it because we don't like the fact that we have to give $2 billion back to the taxpayers." Now, I am certainly no Bob Marshall, D fan, but kudos to him for telling the truth. I'm sure it was a mistake on his part. The Democrats, with their near supermajority status and deep control of all the levers of government in Colorado, except for a couple of congressional seats, routinely show their deep contempt for voters in just about everything they do. Then they turn around and call conservatives the threat to democracy? Lawfare. Joe Biden, D, building on progressive presidents before him, has weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI to prosecute and persecute his political enemies. From the January 6th protesters who were tracked down, jailed, and sentenced to excessively harsh sentences, to pro-lifers facing years in prison for peaceful, really peaceful, not lefty peaceful, protests at abortion clinics, to the indictments and prosecutions of his political opponent Donald Trump, the Democrats are using the very agencies of the government they control in extremely scary and unlawful ways. Think about it. For the first time in American history, an ex-president was charged with various crimes because he had the temerity to declare his intention to run for office again, and because he ran and won in the first place. Trump could have directed the DOJ and the FBI to investigate and charge Hillary Clinton with several felonies. He didn't. The Democrats have been using lawfare for years to promote their agenda. In 2003, a Washington, D.C. attorney named Melanie Sloan founded Citizen for Responsibility and Ethics, or CREW. CREW is a 501c3 that exists to promote the progressive agenda by targeting conservative and Republican politicians with ethics complaints and other litigation-based harassment. According to the website crewexposed.com, an analysis of crew's watchdog activities reveals a systematic effort to disproportionately target Republicans and conservative-leaning groups with often frivolous lawsuits, ethics complaints, and petitions for investigation by law enforcement agencies. Crew is but a part of the large, interconnected, progressive infrastructure that works tirelessly to elect Democrats and advocate for policies that have been proven to fail time after time. Conclusion: Democrats are not interested in governing within the limits imposed by the United States Constitution. They have no use for limited government, free markets, capitalism, or fossil fuels, all of which are the pillars of modern life. Democrats are the party of failure, nihilism, and death. Every single one of their policy positions is exactly wrong and provably so. Democrats don't care about average hardworking Americans who get married, raise families, attend church, teach their children to be respectful and polite, and who just want to be left alone. Democrats have no idea of the shameful and sordid history of their party, and they want you to believe that they promote human flourishing when the exact opposite is true. This coming election in November presents us with a stark choice. Kamala Harris, D, and her running mate Tim Walz, D, couldn't be more unsuitable to occupy the White House and administer the executive branch. Regardless of how you feel about Donald Trump, and I know people love him and others hate him, he is the only real choice if you don't want four more years of the Biden administration on steroids. Anything but an affirmative vote for Trump is a virtual or actual vote for Harris Walz and the acceleration of American decline and failure. To the Trump haters, look at it this way. What do you hate more, Donald Trump or the Democrat agenda with its continued and increasing failures? If you hate the latter more, then you have to vote for the former. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and don't let the Democrats continue their destruction of America.